Hey, everybody, quick and to the point. Arizona turnout needs to go up. We have our eyes on all things Arizona. We are going to have a live stream for Arizona, so make sure you check that out. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. As always, email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Jack Posobiec is also here to unpack all things Taiwan. Pretty awesome episode. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here with the great Jack Posobiec. Thank you guys for tuning in today. Very important day here in Arizona. Jack, welcome.
Thank you so much. No, that this is ground zero for the Republic today. If we were going to take back the Republic, it starts in Arizona.
So you're going to be sick of me telling you this, but you're going to hear it from Tyler Boyer, and then you're going to hear it from me. Turnout is low. Tyler is freaking out in our group chat.
I can see it. Yeah. And he's I've been out here since 6 a.m. and what's going on? Nobody's here. You know, we need more people.
This
we need
is Arizona,
more bodies.
By the way, so if you are an Arizona conservative, you got to go vote. Get your friends to do the same. Tyler believes that turnout is so low that this means that MAGA candidates up and down the ballot will lose. He said, if this continues and this is the slow drip, then we're going to get blown out.
Here's the thing. The issue that he's talking about is complacency. And this is a broader question for the midterms nationwide,
exactly
too,
right.
Is that if you keep saying red wave, and you and Blake talked about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. If you keep saying red wave, red wave, red wave, everything's fine. Well, okay. But you have to actually go out and make it happen.
Yes.
So just assume that that's not going to happen. Put that aside and say, okay, what can I affect? Action for the war room audience. Right. Go out there, make a plan. And then, by the way, if you know that you're going to vote, go and do what we used to do in 2016. We called it MAGA 3X. And what is MAGA 3X? That is, you make a plan to bring yourself and you find three people that maybe they're in your family that weren't planning to vote. And you make sure that either you bring them with you. If
I got five people here in Arizona.
You can do five if you want to go five.
I texted you guys the video in the group chat of one guy that I know really well just moved here. And he's like, hey, Charlie, you know, what do you think about all this? You know, aren't the elections corrupt? I said, if we're going to keep being friends, you got to go vote. So he literally texted me a video of him voting for Blake Masters and voting for Carrie Lake. I was like,
Charlie's constantly spamming the group chat, just so you guys know. It's constant.
Oh, it's nonstop.
It's like 90% Charlie.
Yeah, it is. And it's people would think it would be the opposite. That I
don't have
that
you don't have time for it. No. He's like, guys, you see this, guys, you see that,
but the
guys,
reason
see this.
Being
I'm like,
though,
I have no idea. Your mind is like,
I don't have other social media.
Right. Yeah.
That
right,
is my
right,
social
right,
media.
Right.
Is a group chat with 11 of my closest friends. So, Jack, I want to shift gears here. I want to get to this Taiwan thing because it's really unclear to me. And you made a funny compliment beforehand when I did my best to regurgitate Chinese history to Taiwan.
No, I was that. Was, hey, that was no cap, man. No cap. That was pretty good.
It was I did the best I could.
For your, that's why when you watch the Charlie Kirk Show, you're watching someone who actually engages with the information as opposed to when you watch most cable news and you're getting someone who's essentially an actor who's been trained to read headlines. But I could tell that you actually had read through this and understood the underlying issue that for my background, for people who don't know this, I don't always lean into it. Navy intelligence officer predominantly focusing on East Asia, Mandarin linguist. Lived in Shanghai for 2 years, so lived in the region, been to Taiwan multiple times, sailed through the Taiwan Strait on U.S. Navy ships, pretty familiar with the area. And that the understanding is that when people say, you know, well, what's the status quo? Does U.S. support Taiwanese independence? Does U.S. support... Look, you actually have to understand the background, and that's what you broke down so well, Charlie.
Thank you.
Is understanding that what you're actually looking at between mainland China and Taiwan is an unresolved civil war.
Yes. Yes.
That goes all the way back to 1940, 1920s, if you want to, you know, go to all the way back to Sun Yat-sen. But the fact that it isn't resolved is that Taiwan officially declares itself not as the country of Taiwan, but as the Republic of China. They were the original legitimate government of China after the fall of the Qing Dynasty, stood up by Sun Yat-sen. They were kicked out by the communists, but they were never, the communists and Mao were never able to take Taiwan. That's actually because the Soviets pushed them into Korea, which Mao didn't want to go to, but that's a whole other story. So they don't get Taiwan. The Republic of China lands there, fortifies the island, and then Truman says, you're not coming in. And so it puts aircraft carriers and everything else, because back at the time, he used to say that if we ever have to go to war with China, then Taiwan is essentially a floating aircraft carrier for us. This was, you know, a huge statement made back at the time. So when, and again, you know, if you just, if you're on Rav and you heard the theme song for War Room, right, that we've been doing for all these years, is take down the CCP. Okay, great. Take down the CCP. But what comes next? Well, what would then follow is you don't have to create a new government, because the legitimate government of China has always been there. It's just currently only located in Taiwan.
And so there's a lot to unpack, kind of what's happening there. But the breaking news, Nancy Pelosi has just landed.
She's just landed. That's right.
Taiwan. And I'm very torn on this, Jack. So maybe you can help get me clarity and with it the audience, which is I'm no fan of the Chinese Communist Party. I think that our focus should be on the CCP, unlike how our focus is on Vladimir Putin and Russia. Some people say, well, Nancy Pelosi is showing this big show of strength by going to Taiwan. Other people say that, you know, we are unnecessarily agitating the Chinese Communist Party, which I'm torn, and I'm torn for the following reasons. Not for political reasons. We know why Pelosi is going. I think she's just trying to get a midterm boost for the Democrat Party.
Well, it's also because it's a nice feather in her cap for the end of her career.
End of her career, and also she's an asset of the Chinese Communist Party.
100%.
You said. So I'm not even talking about the Pelosi thing. I'm torn in the sense of, is this a good geopolitical idea? Whether if it was Pelosi, or whether it was Paul Ryan, or whether it was Boehner, or McCarthy, or Gingrich, is it a good idea to
Pompeo
go to Taiwan? Or who?
Pompeo talked about
did,
actually going.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't know if he did or not.
I don't know if he went, but I know he tweeted that he would try to accompany Pelosi on this trip.
So,
I don't know if it ever actually happened.
Jack, you're the expert. So, Jack, is this a good idea or a bad idea, Nancy Pelosi in Taiwan? Forget the politics of it. Let's pretend it's not Pelosi, which is obviously so nakedly partisan and political, of which I have no respect for her.
Well, here's,
but more generally geopolitically.
Well, no, here's the thing. If you're looking at geopolitically, if you want to help the people of Taiwan, you want to help the Lao Beijing, the common man and women of China, where's Pelosi on the tariffs? Where's Pelosi on understanding the economic leverage? Because that's the only real way that we're ever going to be able to achieve any movement beyond the status quo here. Because unless you stop the free flow of Western capital to the CCP, nothing will ever change. And China will absolutely, the CCP controlled PLA, People's Liberation Army, will clearly have a military advantage in the area. There's no question. President Trump was very clear about this as well, that should a kinetic conflict kick off, I mean, it would be bloody, it would be devastating. The entire island would be on fire. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think you'd probably see more of like a blockade would probably be more germane, because they don't want to break it. They want to buy it. But if you actually want to do something to help, why hasn't she come out and talked about the tariffs that would already weaken the CCP? And look at the banking crisis that they already have.
She hasn't mentioned the virus.
Talk about the fact that this was the Chernobyl of the 21st century. With the breakout of that virus, the Wuhan lab, the gain of function, everything that was going on there. If you actually want to help, then that's great. But don't just do these publicity stunts that, you know, rattle the sabers and the fighters go up and everything else. You have to do the work.
So am I understanding this correctly? Do you think a lot of this is performative, that this is kind of theatrical?
I think it's all performative.
Okay.
I think it's all performative. And let's also, by the way, not overlook the fact that Nancy Pelosi and her husband were just caught buying semiconductors with this huge pump and dump deal that she had set up right before the passage of the CHIPS Act. They got caught, so they had to sell them before this came out. Where are those semiconductors? The NVIDIA company, where are those? Where's the fabrication sites? 15 out of the 18 are on Taiwan.
So she's in Taiwan right now, and the Chinese Communist Party sent out another press release, far less severe than the one they sent out previously, by the way, saying we have many cards to play. This now shows that we have this great rivalry against America, something like that. And I think we have to look below the surface with a story they're not showing. But right now, Nancy Pelosi is in Taiwan. It's dominating all the news cycle. No better person to help us unpack it than Jack Posobiec. Look, there are food shortages happening all across the world right now. Are you prepared? I have the most amazing preparedness plan thanks to My Patriot Supply. And you have to go to preparewithkirk.com. Look, you are 9 meals away from anarchy. Do you see all these food plants blowing up? Do you have preparedness food? If not, you are not properly protecting your family. I do. I'm going to be fine. My family will be well fed. Go to preparewithkirk.com and you'll save $50 on a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. I don't trust the government. Do you? You think they're going to feed you when things fall apart? And you might say, oh, Charlie will never fall apart. Right. Well, I'll be fed. They're the nation's largest preparedness company, and their 4-week food kit contains enough meals for one person for nearly a month with 2,000 calories a day. Get one kit for each person in your family. There's no limit to how many you can order. Just make sure you have this food when you need it, which could be soon. Get it today at preparewithkirk.com. You'll save $50 and get free shipping as well. I'm sure you don't want to stand in government food lines, so make the proper precautions now. That is preparewithkirk.com. Preparewithkirk.com. Go to preparewithkirk.com. Let's play Cut 27. John Kirby, and then Jack, I want your response on this, whether or not we as Americans support Taiwan independence. Play Cut 27.
Repeatedly said that we oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo from either side. We have said that we do not support Taiwan independence, and we have said that we expect cross-strait differences to be resolved by peaceful means. We have communicated this directly to the...
Jack.
The United States never should have disrecognized Taiwan back in the 1970s under Jimmy Carter. The United States...
Was it Carter or Nixon?
Nixon did the meeting, right? Held the meeting. He meets with Zhou Enlai. Then he meets with... Kissinger goes over. Then he meets with Mao. Kissinger actually went for a secret meeting for the first time. Then, but it was under Carter that they actually switched diplomatic recognition from Taiwan to the CCP. And what's key with that is that's what gave China the seat at the United Nations Security Council. So the CCP, when I say China in this context, this was a huge deal because up until then, essentially, Taiwan, the Republic of China, had been considered the U.S. ally. We gave them this. My point is, though, is that, Charlie, we've put Taiwan in this situation. And we have to actually look at our own actions in terms of this, in terms of the West, in terms of the United States, because look at what we've done. We've allowed the CCP to isolate Taiwan. Mm-hmm. We've allowed them to isolate them militarily. We've allowed them to isolate them economically, cut them off from pretty much every other economic trading partner they had in the world. Barely anyone recognizes them anymore. I would personally support their, they should be part of the United Nations. They should at least be part as an independent member state there. And for the United States, though, you look at what we've done. We sold out the people of Taiwan when we decided to sell out the people of China because we wanted to outsource our manufacturing to Asia, the same way we outsourced our energy to the Middle East. And we realized, hey, we don't want to have to deal with the United States. We don't have to deal with U.S. workers. We're going to go and get the slave labor of China to be our supply chain. And this is going to create this system called globalism. And so if you're going to come in at this last moment, in the last stages of all of this, when China is now completely ascendant, flush with Western capital, right? There's a reason that Detroit looks the way it does and Shanghai looks the way it does, right? That's where your capital went, folks. It went over there, right? There's no China dream like Xi Jinping likes to tell you. No. That's our capital.
It was a massive labor redomiciling.
100%.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you see statements like this, well, of course, you know, are we going to sell out time? My point is we've been selling them out for 30 years.
Let's get just another piece of sound here. Really quick, let's go to, okay, the question is, are we prepared and are we ready for a conflict? This is my one fear, is our military ready, especially our Navy? You served in the Navy, right, Jack?
My proud, beloved Navy.
Play cut 34, while the Chinese Communist Party prepares for war and Pelosi saber rattles, this is what our military is focused on. Play cut 34.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I'm Kanchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves. apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
That is an official United States military, Navy, required, mandatory training video, Jack.
And, you know, so right when I was getting out is kind of when a lot of the trans training was being instituted. So I went through, I did go through one. I actually had to sit through one in uniform, you know, full hall full of people. And you could see chiefs and even commanders just kind of looking around the room saying, what are we doing here? Right. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a guy, you've got an O5 up on stage who's delivering the briefing and going through the talking points. And it's like, it just reminded me of the CCP. And it reminded me of how you would have the, you know, the political commissar, right, standing off stage, you know, kind of looking at you, you know, and holding his little red book saying, make sure you say the words.
Yep.
Make sure that you go through the mantras. You all have to say it. You have to nod your head. But Charlie, take it back. We've got planes falling off of aircraft carriers.
Mm-hmm.
We've got ships crashing into each other in the 7th Fleet. That's the fleet that would be in East Asia. We've also got a situation last year where one of our amphibious ships, you know, it's similar to an aircraft carrier, burned down on the pier, the Bonhomme Richard, and the sailors on board didn't know how to put out the fire because this is what they're getting trained.
That's what I'm fearful of, and that's what concerns me. When Pelosi goes to Taiwan, our military is not ready for a war, not even close. Too worried about transgender pronoun training. Right now, Bank of America has just lowered its 2022 forecast for the S&P 500 by a whopping 900 points to 3,600. Saying we're headed for a recession this year, it said the new year target is the lowest on the street. This is not good news for those of you stuck in equities or anything tied to stock markets. I know thousands of people who have put their trust in Noble Gold to prevent losing money in the financial storm that is brewing. You can join them by calling their expert team. Noble Gold has recently voted the number one gold company in the country by Consumer Affairs. No call centers, no scripted response, no bull, just a straight, honest run through options so you can decide. And by the way, they're giving away a beautiful 1/10 ounce gold American Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover this month. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. Tyler Boyer is here from Turning Point Action here in Arizona. Tyler, you believe there is reason for concern here in Arizona. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, look, Charlie, I've been out at the polls all morning, 6 a.m. Our team at Turning Point Action has been in key target districts this morning from about 5:30. Before the polls open at 6, and we've been out there, and it's been slower than I would expect in some of these Republican areas, which, you know, is terrifying for I think some of the MAGA candidates that you would look at, the Trump endorsed candidates, the more conservative candidates. I mean, guys, you only have one day. Anyone that's in Arizona that's listening to this, that has friends in Arizona, has family in Arizona, yes, they only have one shot to vote, and it's today, and they've got to vote.
You're seeing lower turnout than you would have expected?
Than I would have expected. Yeah, I've been doing this for, you know, the last about 8 election cycles since I turned 18, and you know, this is a lot slower of a primary day than I would have expected.
And it's still early in the day, so it could be fixed. People can still show up.
Yep, absolutely.
But there was no kind of morning surge. Why do you think that is? Do you think it might be because maybe some of these Republican candidates like Carrie Lake and Blake Masters were putting out very favorable polls and people think they don't have to go vote?
Well, I mean, there's a combination of things. One is, you know, where people think that the election's in the bag, sometimes they don't show up to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never a good policy to have. If you get out and vote for your candidate is not going to win. Yeah. And nowadays, when we're dealing with Democrats in these election offices, I mean, it could be weeks before we get a winner.
Do you think we'll know a winner tonight?
I hope so. I hope that's the case. I mean, look, if there's low turnout today, we certainly will, because they, you know, in Maricopa County in Arizona, for example,
the
recorder put out, it might take us a few days to count all the votes. So everyone needs to just chill. I mean, it's so bad. But I mean, the second part of this is that I think a lot of people are maybe waiting till after work. And my big concern is that from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. when the polls close, that it's going to be really busy.
Yeah, but then people are going to say, forget it.
I know. Do not. I'm telling you guys, if you end up, there's about half as many polling places as there's historically has been for the midterms. They moved to the vote center concept, which is stupid. So
can
it's
you
no
walk
longer
through what that is? I'm confused.
Well,
I don't understand.
Well, and that's what upsets us is that, you know, in the West, they tested this in California and they've moved this. Now they're moving this east. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to eliminate precinct polling, precinct voting, right?
Yes.
And
no, so, this is right. I was at my family's last night and they're like, yeah, we used to vote right around the street. Now we have to drive 20 minutes.
It used to be like little old ladies could walk down to their church that was like on the corner and they could vote. Now they're making people drive miles away. And allegedly the Democrats are doing this to make it easier to vote, even though it's further away for old ladies.
Well, but yeah, I mean, so my family, we have to drive 20 minutes across town to go drop off our ballot.
To drop off a ballot, which is insanity.
20 minutes where otherwise it was a church right around the corner. So now we're centralizing, not decentralizing elections.
So they're centralizing elections further away from where people live. And so I think that's part of it, honestly, is that, you know, now voters are like, you know what? I can't go wait in line for hours in a polling place that's 20 minutes away from my house. Honestly, it's an attack on voting. Mm-hmm. And this is what Republicans need to be talking about, which is the elimination of precinct-based polling is one of the most detrimental things
to our
republic.
And yet Republicans have allowed this to happen in Arizona, right?
Totally allowed it. And so my fear is that people are like, oh, you know what? I don't have time this morning. I got to get to work. I'm going to leave work early.
So here's the important part, not to interrupt. So producer Connor lives in an urban area, downtown Phoenix, and he said it was less than a mile to go there. My family lives in Scottsdale, super conservative, mm-hmm. very conservative. They have to drive 20 minutes.
Yep.
20 minutes from their home. So if you live in downtown Phoenix, they make it easier than ever. Yep. But you live in Scottsdale, you have to go. So they're voter suppressing conservatives.
Yes.
And they're making it easier for woke vegan people in downtown. No offense, Connor. In downtown Phoenix.
He's neither woke or vegan.
No, so. But I know he lives in downtown Phoenix. There are some wackadoodles in downtown Phoenix.
No, you're exactly right, Charlie. What basically has happened is suppression of Republican votes by making it more difficult for rural and suburban voters to vote urban to vote.
But how did Republicans agree to this? What was their thought process? Well,
when you elect bad Republicans like Stephen Richer and others, that this is what happens, guys.
The legislature didn't fix it.
The legislature wouldn't fix it because of guys like Rusty Bowers. And so our team out today, Rusty Bowers, who's the Speaker of the House, who
bad guy
went down and testified at the J6 committee and other things. And his best friend is now Liz Cheney, apparently, even though he's never known her ever his whole life, is now in a fight for his life for his Senate seat. And so we're out. You know, supporting the guy against him. His name is David Farnsworth, and we're hoping that winning that seat will retain conservative control over the state Senate so we can pass election integrity bills in Arizona.
If you guys live in Missouri or Washington or any of the primary states or Arizona, I want to hear your voting experience. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. So turnout might also be lower because people might also be confused of where to vote. So, I know that I dealt with this with my family this morning. Like, where the heck do I turn in my ballot?
Yeah, people are like, they're having to Google. So I'm afraid what's happening, this is the first time that they've ever had to really do this because this is different from the presidential. Mm-hmm. You have to remember, presidential, everyone votes early. They're voting, you know, they vote. You know, oddly enough, all those leftist groups that are telling people normally to vote, you haven't seen much of that in this election.
They want low turnout.
They want low turnout.
Voter suppression.
Yeah, yes. So they can get their guys in that are moderate, mm-hmm. Moderates, you know, masquerading, you know, as Republicans, these Democrats. And so, I mean, I'm telling you right now, everybody has to learn where their voting place is. They can look it up. Just Google Maricopa voting polling places. They'll pull it up. You can
say that again.
If you go, just Google it. It's recorder.maricopa.gov.
Okay.
And if you Google find my polling place, it'll be like the first one that comes up. Go there early. Do not wait. Do not procrastinate. And don't give up if there's long lines this afternoon, because I have a feeling that some of these places in Republican areas are going to be.
They're going to have huge lines, and that will be drop off. And that's part of the strategy.
That's the strategy.
People like Stephen Richer.
I think that's how they're suppressing votes.
I totally agree.
Yep.
And so I got a message from another part of my family, and they said, we went this morning to our usual location and it wasn't there. So they were super confused, had to go back home, waited on the phone for an hour. Now, these are highly motivated voters. Mm-hmm. They eventually figured it out, but it was a 2-hour experience.
Oh, yeah.
This is why you're seeing lower turnout.
Well, I think it's part of it for sure. And I think people are just like, oh, you know, I know my normal place is the church and they're going to go there this afternoon.
And it's not there.
And it's not there. And they're going
to
give up.
This is the opposite of what they've told us, Tyler. They say democracy dies in darkness. We need more accessibility, more voting.
Yep.
If you live in downtown Phoenix or I bet Tucson, they probably have voting centers on every corner.
And university campuses. Yep.
Flagstaff, ASU.
Yep.
But if you live in Scottsdale, they're going to make you drive 20 minutes, change your location. And make it incredibly confusing.
So hard and confusing. Yep. And it's wrong.
This is so important.
And this is the reason why election day and getting back to how things used to be, which is polling places, more polling places. So Maricopa County used to have more than 500 polling places. Now there's less than 200. And that is a really important piece to voting on election day and voter integrity is that we want to make sure that people can vote and they know where to vote. And it's consistent year in and year out. And what they're doing is making things grossly inconsistent and wrong. And it's bad.
Someone just emailed us, Joseph from Arizona. He said, quote, I got all four, my family made four votes for Blake Masters. And he sent it in a picture of that. And he said, I'm still making calls for people to vote. That's what you need. You got it. We can still turn this around, right, Tyler? It's still early in the day, relatively.
Yeah.
It's 9:40 in the morning. But the concern, though, is traditionally there is this 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. conservative rush. Older people that work, they get it out of the way. We didn't see that this morning.
Yeah, there's not a lot, not a huge bump from what we're getting word back from multiple places in Maricopa County. So, I mean, look, guys, if you're planning to vote this afternoon, try to go at lunch. You know, tell your boss this is an important day.
They have to legally give you time off. Not even tell you. You can go to your boss, HR department. They have to give you the time to go vote.
Yeah, that's correct.
By law.
That's correct. And look, if you're seeing reports of long lines this afternoon, you know, start tweeting about it. Posting to social media. Take pictures.
Yes.
There's photographers.
freedom@charliekirk.com. Send us everything you're seeing.
And so, I mean, we'll get into kind of what's happening here in Arizona with candidates as well here in a little bit. But, you know, this is really important for a lot of the conservative candidates because we know the more conservative candidates are going to win on election day. And so if you're supporting a conservative that's running at local levels, whether it's for state legislature or Congress or all the way up a ballot here where it's U.S. Senate or governor, get your people out and tell them that they cannot procrastinate. They cannot just assume that their person is going to win because this is going to be a drag out thing. It may take multiple days. For us to get to a place where we actually have a winner here in Arizona.
So someone just emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com. How is it that the process is still murky after all these months? Just because you're in the weeds of this, right, Tyler? I mean, just for normal everyday people, carpenters, welders, electricians, moms and dads, they're getting mad. Why didn't you guys figure this out?
Well, I mean, look, I'll tell you, we have some really good people down at the legislature, but we have some really bad people down at the legislature. And so I would argue we've had the best people we've had at the legislature in a long time. We also have the worst people that we've had at the legislature in a long time. And the fact is that we have a very slim majority in Arizona in the ledge. Out of the 300 plus election integrity laws that were run across America, more than 100 of those were run in Arizona. Now, a majority of those did not get passed because we had some really bad leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And the Speaker of the House here in Arizona, his name is Rusty Bowers. He lives in my neighborhood. He lives in my district. He sucks. He got in the way of and blocked a lot of this. And so a lot of these people that have frustration today are going to go, well, why didn't this get fixed? Or why is this weirder? Or why is this different? Well, it's because you have legislators who would not, you know, push back against the Democrats and let them just kind of run willy-nilly with this thing. And that's wrong.
Someone just said, Charlie, why aren't volunteers knocking on doors to remind people to vote? We are at Turning Point Action. My brother lives in Phoenix, but doesn't have a vehicle and can't get to the polling place. So just so you know, you can call your local county office. They have to provide transportation or a way to vote, and they'll figure it out. The local city by law, if you call it, and you probably still have time, they'll send a van for you or they'll send something. Is that right, Tyler? They cannot have a handicap impediment to not vote, or there's some other extenuating circumstances.
Or you can drive to the polling place and you can vote from your car. So there's, you can actually
drive.
Yeah,
this guy doesn't have a vehicle, but yeah, I think there is, at least I understand, they'll get it done for you.
Yeah, they will come do pickups 100%. And you can do that at the Maricopa County website as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, please let friends know, go pick up family, help your family members out. Let us know and we'll help people out. We want to make sure people get their votes in today.
So we're going to go through the ballot of what you did. if that's okay.
Sure.
As the Arizona master, because people are asking us here, like, what is the best candidates? How do I pick the best candidate? And we'll nationalize it because we're a national program here. Sure. But honestly, even if you're watching right now from Maine, if you are watching from New York, what's happening in Arizona impacts your liberty. As Arizona goes, America goes, period. End of story. Remember how we used to say Ohio is where the country goes?
Yep.
Now it's Arizona. I know that's weird for some people to process. Arizona is no longer a strong conservative state. It is a 50-50 state. We can make it that again. So, Tyler, someone asked us a question. If turnout keeps up like this, what will happen to MAGA candidates?
Well, I mean, look, very simple is that if, you know, we're expecting high turnout from conservatives mm-hmm. on day of, because everybody all year long has been saying, I don't trust mail-in ballots. I don't trust mail-in ballots. So, guys, if you don't trust mail-in ballots, you still have to vote. So please show up to the polls, and you got to cash your ballot. Now, how it works, Charlie just brought this up. People are experiencing some problems with printers. Basically, what they're doing at the polling place, if you show up, if you have a mail-in ballot you've left at home because you don't trust it, or you shredded it, or you threw it away, or whatever, you destroyed it, go to the polling place, tell them that you don't have your ballot, or you left it at home, and they will print you a new ballot that will replace the one that came in the mail, and your vote will count today. So you got to do that. You got to get your mail-in ballot today.
I mean, but I think MAGA candidates will struggle if turnout keeps up like this.
If turnout's low, because you expect them just to win, just on, you know, the idea alone, they will struggle. They will struggle.
Do not believe the polls, everybody. Some of these polls have shown your candidates up big time, and that might be a very big problem. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Tyler, as you're comfortable, tell us about, let's just talk more broadly, how do you pick the good candidates here in Arizona as people are filling out their ballots in these primaries?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've lived in this state my entire life. I'm from Arizona. I'm a seventh generation Arizonan. The last 30 years has been dominated by this McCain era politics, right? Where you have a very DC centralized politics. You know, Texas experienced this with the Bushes. You know, Eric Cantor got his butt handed to him in Virginia. Similarly, and now we're seeing this with Liz Cheney in Wyoming, right? Where we're finally eradicating this, and that's happening right now. I call it the exorcism of John McCain. You know, that's what this election's all about. And the only way for that to happen is to show up and vote these people out and create a new generation of a Republican Party, right? And so, so that's what's happening right now in Arizona. That's what's happening in Wyoming, right? This today. So it is really exciting where we're at. We have to move forward now with a plan of how we're going to replace with good candidates. But you as a voter have to understand that your vote counts. And so these polls that are showing people that are trending 10 points up, 15 points up, that is sentiment 100%. Mm-hmm. People feel that way. But it only counts and it only is memorialized if you vote. Because 5-6 points, that's only 40, 50,000 votes in this election, guys. And so we all saw this with Trump in 2020, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 votes is not that much. It's only a few percentage points overall.
And I'll tell you something about Tyler. So back during the 2020 election, all of Trump's political team ignored everything we said. And Trump was amazing. We're huge fans of Trump. He's phenomenal. He's fabulous. We're 100% behind him. But how many text messages, Tyler, did we try to send people warning them about Arizona? And what they did is they did rallies in every rural part of Arizona, right? Ignoring Maricopa County. The day of voting, we try to tell Trump's team, hey, you guys are probably on pace to lose by 10,000 votes. And I received the text message from someone on Trump's political team, quote, you have no effing idea what you're talking about. I screenshot it, sent to Tyler, and Tyler was rather fired up about it.
Yeah.
And these DC consultants, they're a bunch of morons. Now, what ended up happening?
We lost. We lost by that many votes.
Yeah, and I think Trump actually did win, if you count the mules and all that stuff. But what Tyler saw was the ballots and the turnout and the shenanigans, and no one on Trump's team actually wanted to hear about it.
Yeah, that was based off of the post, the mm-hmm. ballot harvesting that we've seen.
Because you saw all of it happening.
We saw the ballot harvesting sign, and we said, this is how many votes that we need to get on election day to win. And we did the numbers, and we're like, hey, we're running about 10,000 to 12,000 votes shy, and that's exactly where we ended up. You know, the similar thing is happening here on primary day for MAGA candidates, where we have this expectation, these trends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Maricopa County, if we stayed on track, there should be about 800,000 votes that get cast across the state for Republicans
tonight.
No, overall. altogether. Right now, it's about
in the primary. So the entire universe is about 800,000.
It's about that's most people's targets based off of last election, which is about 30% turnout. So that's low turnout, right? But that's normal.
But
for
we should crush
a primary.
That because it's a wave year of allegedly everywhere else is higher in the country, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, but we're not trending towards that, especially with turnout looking low in person today. My expectation was that we were going to have flooded turnout this morning. It hasn't been the case.
So we just got this rural part of Arizona looking very desolate out here in the rural area in Coconino.
People got it. Call your friends. Call your family.
People are staying at home. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have a bunch of moderates win if we don't all of a sudden show up in Arizona. I know some of you are out of state and you're in Missouri. Same sort of thing. You got to show up in massive numbers. Now, really quick, Tyler, do you fear that some of the emphasis on the lack of proficiency of our voting system might actually be having people say, what's the point? Why don't I stay at home?
Well, look, the insane part that exists right now, and I get it, guys. I get that we don't have a ton of trust in the system and a ton of trust in our elected officials, but that's no reason to give up. The fact is that every shenanigan we know they pulled can only move the dial so much, right? Can only manipulate the vote so much. If you overwhelm them at the ballot box, there's nothing that they can do to stop your candidates from winning. And so that's where conservatives have to be, is say, we got to overwhelm them to win so they can't pull all the tricks and the parlor tricks in order to get their candidates across the finish line.
We'll see what happens tonight. Tyler Boyer will be joining us. I think we might be actually also live streaming this tonight on Real America's Voice. But I know we're on Rumble. I know we'll be on Getter. We'll be on YouTube. We'll definitely be on Facebook. We'll probably be on Instagram. And so we're going to be everywhere.
We'll have some special guests tonight too.
And you're going to be live at a certain location.
We'll have different. Yeah, we'll be in different places.
All over the valley. The best coverage of what's happening on election night. As Arizona goes, America goes. It's that simple. You might live in Vermont, but if you love America, you need to be focused on Arizona. Tonight will be very interesting. And for please, goodness sake, if you live in Arizona, go vote right now. Okay, Tyler, thank you. We'll see you tonight. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.